Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Yes, it's the longest day of the year, but it's also time for NBA free agency billboards. Arguably the best time of the year. And there are already two of those in SoCal. And, of course, they're aimed at Kawhi Leonard. According to Andrew Greif of the LA Times, there's a King of the North, King of SoCal billboard. And there is a California license plate with Kawhi on it. So I'm not sure you've seen these yet. If you haven't, you're not missing anything. Let's be real. They're not the most creative billboards I've ever seen. In fact, they might be the least creative billboards I've ever seen. Trust me, Kawhi is not looking up from his booze and his dessert to check out those boards. Fact. Then, according to my guest, who's coming up next segment, Chris Haynes, he is planning to opt out and become a free agent. Also, pretty procedural. We knew that was going to happen. And since that's going to happen, you know what that really means, right? It means Kawhi is going to be a Clipper. Those Clipper bros will be so fired up. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Especially when somebody recently tweeted out photos of Kawhi allegedly at a Home Depot. Allegedly buying boxes. Allegedly. And immediately, Raptor fans started freaking out. Like, Kawhi is buying boxes? No!
No!
No one buys boxes unless they're moving. He's out of here. He's already bounced. He's jamming us. He must be moving. Quick, get some D-listers together. And a weatherman. And Drake. We have to drop a Please Stay Kawhi track. Stat. Seriously, tracking Home Depot boxes, that is some next level stuff right there. Tracking plane flights is so early 2000s. People are now snapping up pics of guys picking up boxes. That is next level. I mean, people need to know. And if you need real intel, where do you go to get it? Freaking Home Depot. That's smart. That's real. That's the Kawhi alarm right there. He's gone. That's real. And so is the freak out when those photos hit. Yeah, because Kawhi Leonard, two-time NBA champion and a man worth millions and millions of dollars, is going to pack his own boxes and move himself from Canada to LA. You know, like a kid moving out of a dorm in college. Yeah, because that makes sense. Look, I don't know what this guy is doing. I don't know why he's buying boxes. But knowing Kawhi as I do, which is to say that I don't know him at all, he might be buying boxes for millions of different reasons. And one of the reasons might just be to mess with all of you. After all, it is the same guy who was in on the joke about his laugh, and he dropped that on everybody at the parade. And then there is this part of the report from Chris Haynes. Quote, Leonard 27 is believed to be seriously considering re-signing with the Raptors. Sources say, end quote. So, he might be staying in Toronto after all. The amazing thing to me about Kawhi's free agency is that it starts in less than a week, and nobody has any idea what this guy's going to do. There have been exactly zero leaks about his plans. And in today's day and age, that's borderline impossible. The media, the fans, other teams, they've been all over Kawhi and his plans for months, and yet nobody knows. The guy plays his cards so close to his vest, they're stuck in his ribs. Honestly, the fact that it's such a secret is amazing. Kawhi keeping all of this quiet is almost more impressive than anything he's done on the court. So, let me say the following. I don't know what Kawhi is going to do, because nobody does. But, I know what he should do. And that's stay right where he is. I mean, easy for me to say. From thousands of miles away and having absolutely no idea what his life is like there, what makes him happy or motivated. But it sure seems like he's already in the perfect spot. Don't get me wrong. I'm a SoCal native. He's a SoCal native. SoCal is awesome. The Clippers have this energy about them right now. And notice we're talking about the Clippers and not the Lakers. Because the Clippers have a legitimate shot at him, and the Lakers don't. I mean, let's be real about that. But when you look at the Clippers, what do you see? You see a team who's got something good going on right now. A team that battled in the second half of the season and in their series with Golden State. You can see why a superstar would want to join Doc Rivers and those players. But to me, Kawhi is in a pretty damn cool spot right now. He's coming off an amazing season. He's worshipped in Toronto and pretty much all of Canada. It's a tremendous organization around him. It's an incredible front office led by Masai Ujiri. Great, great coaching staff. A deep roster with some young talent that feels like it's only going to get better. It's an amazing fan base. It's a great, great city. Oh, and he is a world champion again. And the organization and the coaching staff did an amazing job in dealing with his load management. They managed his minutes perfectly to allow him to come back from injury and remain fresh for the postseason. Again, I've got no idea what's in this guy's head or what's in this guy's heart. There probably aren't three people on the planet who do. But I know this. He's in the right spot. And I don't think there's a better place for him. Again, that organization, the coaching staff, and the roster are so good that Kawhi was able to come in and do his thing from the outset. They didn't need a season to adjust. They didn't need a season to get up to speed. They got up to speed in a hurry. And there is no guarantee that he can replicate that anyplace else. Oh, and one more thing. The Jack. There is that. They can offer him an additional year and $50 million more than anybody else can. Listen, I understand that if anybody may not be all about the paper, it's probably this guy. But $50 million is $50 million. And I don't see too many people leaving that kind of money on the table. But again, it's not just the money. It's the money and the fact that there really is not a better situation out there for him than the one he has right now. His call, his life, his legacy. But if I were him, I'm going to take that max contract and stay where I'm worshipped and where I just won a world championship and with an organization that gets me. What do you think this guy's going to do? What do you think that this guy should do? He is, of course, Chris Haynes. Chris, what's going on? How are you?
Romy Rome. Always a pleasure, man.
My man. Good to talk to you. All right, so you had this report yesterday that Kawhi Leonard is going to decline his team option with the Raptors and become a free agent. Chris, many Raptor fans saw the first part of that report. They started to freak out, but should they?
Look, I think right now, if you would have asked me 3 weeks, a month ago, what Kawhi was going to do in free agency, I would have said I think he's definitely headed towards L.A., and when I say L.A., I mean most likely the Clippers. But, you know, there's been a lot. You know, I actually got his uncle, Dennis Robertson, on record for a story about a month ago, I want to say, or it was right before the finals started. And, you know, he talked to me about just the trust that was built there in Toronto and, you know, how things were just leaking. You know, during that last year in San Antonio with how people were in the front office were disgruntled with thinking that Kawhi was faking an injury or he wasn't as hurt as he was. And so, you know, there was a lot of goodwill earned on the part of the Raptors even before the Raptors won that championship. And then I wrote that, you know, rival executives, are telling me that they believe the Raptors are the favorites. And he's really considering re-signing with the Raptors. Now, I still think he's going to take meetings with other teams. I think the Clippers will, you know, definitely get a meeting. But, you know, as far as the Raptors' standpoint goes, you know, that love affair has grown and it's helped them expeditiously. And, you know, they got a real good shot of locking this guy back in for another year or two.
Chris Haynes joining us. All right, so your point that the Raptors had banked a bunch of goodwill even before the championship. What about the championship? How much does winning that title play into Kawhi's decision-making?
Well, I remember talking to a couple people, and they said, well, you know, if Kawhi won a championship, you know, he's done everything he could for Toronto. You know, that's something that they've never accomplished before, so he should be able to walk freely. But I think there is something to be said about, you know, continuing to try to see, how many you can pull out of the hat, you know, while you're there in Toronto. And so, you know, he doesn't necessarily have to, you know, sign a 4 or 5 year max. You know, the Toronto Raptors, they only want a team that can offer him a 5 year, $190 million extension. He can only get 4 years anywhere else. But, you know, he doesn't have to, you know, secure his whole future there in Toronto. He can do a two-year deal, player option for the second year. And so I think there's something to be said about, you know, just trying to see how many you can pull out the hat there, especially with now with Golden State being vulnerable. It seemed like that championship window is just left wide open there. And so, I think that definitely helps the Raptors, you know, and their chance to retain them as well.
Listen, is there something which is interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? If so, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are specialized in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, grief, self-esteem, and so much more. You can connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is confidential, and it's very convenient. Get help at your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. If you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. And best of all, it really is an affordable option. And if you're listening to this right now, you can get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/Rome. So why not get started today? Again, go to betterhelp.com/Rome. Simply fill out a questionnaire and you'll get matched up with a counselor that you will love. Again, betterhelp.com/Rome. That's betterhelp.com/Rome. Chris Haynes back on the program. He joins us. And Chris, it might be an impossible question to answer, but what is your sense as to what's motivating Kawhi as he thinks about that free agency? For instance, is it about winning titles? Is it about a high profile? Is it about money? Is it about something else? What do you think he's thinking?
No, with him, it's strictly about happiness. Happiness and comfort. Happiness, comfort, and trust. You know, those are probably the three things right there. You know, that's where things kind of eroded in San Antonio when it became a trust issue, where they felt that they felt that his condition or his situation wasn't being taken seriously. I remember when his uncle Dennis told me, he said, why would Kawhi make up a story about how severely injured he is? Like, he didn't feel he was ready, and so for his feelings not to be taken seriously, you know, that's where things just went haywire, and it felt like the relationship just couldn't have been repaired, and they had to ask out. That's why they demanded a trade. But, Kawhi said it on record himself. I think he said it during his postseason run, is that, you know, he plays the game just to have fun. You know, this is all, you know, he doesn't take it too seriously. You know, he has a couple championships under his belt already. So for him, it's all about, you know, having fun, comfortability, and trust. And I think if you look at all those things right now, there's not too many places that has those, you know, all three of those aspects, you know, other than Toronto and maybe the Clippers, you know, because that's where he can be close to home. He can also win over there and be comfortability with family. So, you know, there's a bunch of aspects to go into the whole free agency process. But with Kawhi Leonard and what he's looking for and hoping for, it's really simple in the basics.
Chris Haynes, my guest. So let me get you to finish that thought about the Clippers. Exactly what is their pitch to him, and how big of a blow would it be if he decided to stay in Toronto?
No, it would be a huge blow. It would be a huge blow. I mean, it's similar to the blow that the Boston Celtics took, because they were preparing to try to go for Anthony Davis, you know, 2-3 years prior. And we've seen how that happened. Obviously, you see Kyrie Irving is out the door as well. But no, it would be a huge blow to the L.A. Clippers. Think about the season that they just had, the run that they had, with no true superstar or no true star. And they're still able to get to the playoffs and, you know, accomplish what they've accomplished. And right now, you know, well, prior to LeBron and AD coming on board, you know, Clippers looking up as the team to – I don't think they can fully take over L.A., but just as far as basketball, pure basketball standpoint, you know, they're headed in that direction. They feel like they're a one-star player or a star player and a half from being a title-contending team when you look at the rest of their roster. And so if they're unable to get Kawhi, that's a huge blow, because that's somebody they've been, you know, going for a few years now, preparing and planning for. So it would be a tremendous blow, because I think if you look at all the free agents, top free agents, that is, that are on the market this summer, we kind of for a long time had Kawhi directly related to the Clippers. Now, you take Kawhi off the board and you talk about the other top free agents, there's no real true primary link to the Clippers. So that's why, from that standpoint, if they were to lose Kawhi and he would have resigned in Toronto, that's a huge blow, and it sets them back tremendously in this free agency.
Chris Haynes joining me for a few more moments. Chris, what about Kevin Durant? You spoke with him recently, and he told you, quote, "I can't be recruited." Write that, end quote. What's your sense as to what he meant by that, and what's the thing that he's looking for when he considers potential teams?
He wants it out there, like he actually said that on when he came on my podcast, he said that as well. Like, can't nobody recruit me? I won't be recruited this time. So what he means by that is that, like, you can't sway him. Like, there wouldn't be, there's nothing you can tell him about any of these teams that he doesn't already know. And like, so it's like, I think that there's a perception that he's gullible, easily influenced. And so I think by him saying, like, man, there will be no recruit me. I'm not going to be swayed by commercial shoots, billboards, things of that nature. You know, so I think he wants it out there like that. Basically, I think he wants it out there. Basically, he knows what he's going to do, and it's going to be up to us to find out when it's time. But, you know, I think he has his mind made up. And I really do think that's probably the nuts and bolts of what he's trying to get to.
Let me ask you this. What if Golden State were able to re-sign him and Klay Thompson, could you see a scenario, Chris, where they give these guys as much time as they need to rehab, and then they rest Steph Curry and Draymond Green a lot during the season, and then just try to throw the switch in the postseason? Or maybe even punt on the entire season and then run it back in 2020-21?
Jerome, I think it's more so the latter, in my personal opinion. I don't think that next year, if that scenario were to play out, first of all, they got to give both of those guys the max. I don't care what condition they're in. But I think the season is going to be punted on regardless. And when I mean punted, I mean just a championship aspiration. Because I don't think Klay is going to be back until after the All-Star break, if that. I think KD is probably out for the entire season. And I don't think that Stephen Curry and Draymond can get that team to the finals by themselves. So I think essentially that they're going to have to punt next year anyways. But with all that being said, you know, if they do red shirt those guys, is what I would call it, red shirt Klay and KD for next year, I still think they have a couple of years of a window, a championship window, to try to get it done and try to continue that dynasty. But for next year, I think they're going to take an L for the most part.
He is a senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. He is the host of the Post It Up with Chris Haynes podcast. Remember, the mastermind behind the NBA media game during the finals and the pride of Fresno. Good friend of the program, Chris Haynes. Appreciate you, Chris. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, my guy. You take care, bro.
You too, dude. Be good. The Smack Off has been a big topic today, coming off Smack Off 25. And a number of you are saying, hey, man, why would you retire that thing? That was so good. Because there's something about leaving a little too soon than staying a little too long, right? I'm not saying. I just haven't decided. I'm just kind of basking in the glow of another successful event. So let's talk about this now. Many of you have referred to the Smack Off as Christmas morning in the jungle. And just like Christmas, there is a grip of buildup and anticipation for that big day. And then it comes and it goes in a few hours' time. I mean, that's how it is with any big event, right? You circle it on your calendar, months out, the wait takes forever, and then when you finally get there, the actual moment goes by way too fast. So, Smack Off 25 is in the books, and I know a lot of you still want to talk about it because it's been a topic this morning, on the phones, on Twitter. It was a topic on Twitter the entire weekend. Literally, from the time we started the thing on Friday, social went off the entire weekend, and even right now. So, I'm here to keep the thread going a little bit longer. Because one thing about the actual event itself is that we only have the final segment to react and talk about that, and then the weekend hits. So, let me first go back for a minute and give the Silver Smack Off its due. All in all, 16 callers made it on air. And not only was the event bookended by DA and the BIC, but so was the top 10 list. So let me start with DA. in his maiden Smackoff voyage. He came in 10th. And a few things about that. First and foremost is how much I appreciate that he took the time and made that call. He took the time on his 40th birthday and his day off to jump into the biggest event on radio as a rookie, all because Matt in LA said that he had big, big teeth. So credit to my man for showing up for the fight. Not an easy stage to be on, and I know a lot of you are bent about his call. And why? Like I said, if he's guilty of anything, it's that he was too fired up. Besides, what are you so pissed about? Other than a lot of you just need something to be pissed about. That is part of this, right? Let's be real about that. What are you so pissed about? A lot of you need something to be pissed about. But listen, it's not like the guy won, right? He came in 10th. And he did it on a day when he turned 40 and could have been doing any number of other things. So I'm not sure what you're so angry about, other than some of you need something to be angry about. So I appreciate that DA came on and he took part. He made it better. 9th place, Jason Stewart, a.k.a. J. Stu. Now, you know the deal with Stu. Stu is Stu. Stu came on dropping a top 25 list that started with Eddie the Rope, before announcing a new podcast that was going to feature an arm wrestling match between Keith Arnold and Peter Goldfinger. That incredibly inside joke landed with maybe one person. But that one person happens to be the judge, which is why Stu cracked the top 10 and will always be welcome on that day in the event that there is another day. Hey, Stu, don't forget about Mock Moda! In 8th place, and I'll say this, the surprise of the day. I did not expect to say this. Dan in Denver. I never thought that I would say this. Remember that name. The only member of the 19 golden ticket class to, in fact, hit the board. Now, that's the smack-off call that I've been waiting for from this guy for a very long time. And the only reason I was waiting was he kept telling me how great he was. And now I want to see where he goes from there. Can this guy use that as positive momentum to build towards something else where he becomes a consistent and reliable caller? No, I mean, a consistent and reliably great caller. Or was that a one-off? Only time will tell, but on the big stage, on the big day, it was good enough to come in 8th. So Dan, you can't take that from
Remember
Dan.
Remember the name.
I'll say it. Dan in Denver. Remember the name. Golden ticket recipient, top 10 finisher. In 7th. Now, this was a really interesting call. Benny and Wisco. It was a tremendous call with a head of steam heading towards at least a podium finish. That's the way it felt. Maybe even better than that. And then, right in the middle, that bizarre, confusing handoff mid-call to a character named Darren in Illinois. To me, maybe you feel differently, but I am the judge. To me, it just didn't work. It didn't work, and I referenced it on Friday. I called that a tactical error. And the amazing thing was, I mean, how much of a tactical error? He was absolutely killing it before he did that, and then came out of it and went back to killing it. But the cameo killed the call. Started amazing, ended amazing, but there was that 90-second flub that could not be overlooked. But don't worry. I've got all the confidence in the world that Benny will be back. My man's way too good. Way too good, way too funny to take himself off his own call. He knows that. So that was just a tactical error. In 6th. I'm really curious about the whole thing. Let me just stop for a minute. I wonder how many of you, you don't have to like it, but you got to respect the process. I've done this 25 years. How many of you can look in the mirror afterwards if it doesn't go your way and own it, be accountable? Like, let me tell you something. This was your big call on the big show. I do this show every single day. I do 3 hours every single day. Believe me, there are days where the show's not as good. There are days when I'm not as good. I got no problem looking in the mirror and owning it. All right? That's on me. That's on me. I didn't have a great day. I could have done more. I could have been more. Any of you looking in the mirror today? Because some of you should be. In 6th, the 2016-17 champ, Lef in Laguna. Now, as always with Lef, there were strong elements. There was the cameo by Doc Mike, who had not been seen or heard in these parts in years. That was good. That was tactically smart. The pictures on CBS Sports Network were the best of the day. However, the call got pretty disgusting, pretty revolting, like a solid minute on Brad's backside. Sort of took him out of the running, but still good enough for sixth, but not good enough for a top five from one of the favorites to win the event. And in fifth, the aforementioned Mikey DLC. Frankly, a strong effort from Mike.
Romy, I'm the big, long, straight piece in Tetris. Stevie Carbone is that crappy zigzag piece you get right before your screen fills up. Rome, I have thousands of Twitter followers, but I only follow five, so getting a follow from me is a huge honor. If I win today, I'm going to open up the floodgates and follow the whole XR4 Ti. That might be the closest you knuckleheads ever get to a Twitter verification. Now let me translate all that into Hawk's natural dialect. Caw! Rome, I'm having a tough time dealing with that moving stage that ESPN uses to whisk Booger McFarlane from one end of the field to the other. What's next? They're going to suspend Booger McFarlane's fat ass in a zipline harness hovering over the field? Rome, about once a year, somebody new shows up and flashes brilliance, and everyone assumes it's me because I'm the gold standard of brilliance. On the brilliance scale of 1 to Mike and Indy, Jeff in Southfield started as a 9, but after that garbage call today, you all know that ain't me. Regardless, Jeff received the ultimate compliment any smack-off caller could ever receive. At one point, everyone thought he was me.
Mikey. So that call was building and building and building. And what it was building towards was the reveal. The reveal who paid $5,001 to be on that call with Mike. But then the weeks of anticipation gave way to a Beastie Boys song that Mike sang. So no cameo, no special guest, just the song Sabotage that Mike sang. Because apparently he sniffed out one of Lef's guys who tried to pay to be on that call. Allegedly. Problem is, nobody knows whether or not that's true. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that was not the reveal that we expected. That was not the reveal we were all waiting on. I'm saying it was a letdown of a reveal. Everybody wanted to find out who was going to be on that call with Mike because Mike said he would not call unless he found somebody to pay him $5,001. But instead, we got the song, not the reveal. Good call. But it hurt that there was not that reveal. That was the premise of the entire call. Fourth place, Shawnee, the Cowboy Asian, back for the first time since 07.
It's been a long couple weeks, Jim. I'm a huge Big Poppy fan, I got to tell you, because David Ortiz, he's literally the one jersey that I own. So it's been a rough couple weeks. The shooting totally messed me up. And I come to find out it was a case of mistaken identity. So naturally, the first thought that I have is, what beef could Esther Roll have possibly had with the Dominican drug cartel? By the way, you losers complaining about the final seasons of Game of Thrones, the ones who are like, and the timeline wasn't realistic for Dany to ride Drogon from Dragonstone to the north. She's riding a freaking dragon, and the least realistic thing to you losers is the timeline? Okay.
A completely solid comeback call from a five-time champ who had taken 12 years off. I think everybody's hoping that he does come back next year, if there is a next year, and makes another run at number six. Because that was solid. If he could show up like that after 12 years, imagine what next year's call might be like. Which brings us to the podium. One of the tightest top threes in recent memory. Third place, the Walrus, Caleb in Green Bay.
Can you imagine what would happen if one of these cadavers from the days of yore won the smack-off, like Carbone or the Cablanasian? They'd go longer in between titles than Rick in Buffalo when he can't afford a used car. Now, I'm not saying that high school teachers don't get paid very well, but I am saying that to save money on laundry, Rick just showers with his clothes on. He slams one Tide Pod over his melon, another one under his armpits, and a third in his mouth for a light snack. And yes, clones, I'm well aware that Tide Pod jokes are about a year and a half too old, even for Rick, but I'm pretty sure you could say the same thing about the senior girls in his geography class. And Richard, I don't even know why you're here today. You don't need the $5,000. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, you may be entitled to significant financial compensation.
A really well-delivered phone call that ended with an unforgettable homage to Jason Avant. I said it then, I'll say it again right now. To me, it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. Not a question of if, but a matter of when. Caleb is going to win one of these things at some point if I continue with this thing. And I expect that day to come sooner than later. if we continue with the smack off. Great effort from the Wisco kid. Then it came down to the big two. In second place, the angriest man in the jungle. No, the angriest man in the world, Rick in Buffalo.
And don't even get me started on all those NBA front runners. Three Raptors fans in May turned into 3 million diehards in June. My skank mother-in-law even went up for the parade. This drunk bitch is going on 70 and still wants to party like it's Woodstock 69.
Incredible. How's that for a sophomore effort? From seventh place as a rook last year to second place this year. A flawless phone call, laden with smack, one hit after another. And the day kept breaking Rick's way. One caller after another would make a mistake that kept Rick at the very top in the clubhouse. All the way until, well, this. Until Brad and Corona went back-to-back for the first time ever and ripped his fifth smack off.
Speaking of other guys who look like they're about to have a heart attack, Rick in Buffalo did a great job screaming through his call today. He's a funny guy, Jim, calling his mother-in-law a skank, talking about his two-year-old's private parts. That's hysterical. I mean, I know this is radio. I just wish the guy weren't so gosh damned ugly, Jim. Rick in Buffalo is so ugly when he and his wife have sex, she has to close her eyes and pretend he's Tony Kornheiser. And much like PTI, that only gets her about 3 good minutes out of Rick.
Might have been the line of the entire day. And it was part of a phone call that was stacked with same-day reaction to everything that happened before it. I want to reiterate, yes, he went last. Yes, that's an advantage. But it's an advantage that many of you might have that cannot take advantage of. I know everybody else in the field hates hearing it. But there's a reason why he's the best. And to be the best, you've got to beat the best. Not only beat the best, but knock the best out. And Brad was not knocked out. Brad was not beaten. Brad was the best yet again. He is your silver smack-off champ. And a quick shout-out to everybody that hosted a watch party on Friday. I saw a lot of videos and photos from Portland and Green Bay and Dana Point. Looked amazing. Very cool of everybody to get together and turn this event into a reason to hang out. I'm stoked on that. Next year, in the event that there is next year, you want to try and be even bigger and better. But for now, final toast to Smack Off 25. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll get better parts, better prices every day. We'll have the parts you need to get the job done right. Stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help you out. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Jim Thomae. Jim, it is really nice to have you on. How are you?
Oh, thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be on. How's everything today?
So good. So good, Jim. It's great to have you back on this show. I really appreciate you. We've got a few things to cover, so let me jump in. It's been a little less than a year, Jim, since you were inducted into the Hall of Fame. So let me start there. What's it like to hear yourself introduced as a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, and how long did it take for that to sink in?
I don't think it ever has sunk in, to be honest. It's one of the most special things I think any player could ever experience. For me, that weekend, that 4 days, was just an incredible ride, and very, I would describe it as just being very surreal. You know, you're there with the likes of Hank Aaron, Johnny Bench, Mike Schmidt, George Brett. I mean, the list goes on, and to walk down that hall and to know all the great players that played this game and your name is a part of that, it's humbling. It's just surreal to a point. I still today think about it and I go, wow. You know, you don't ever play the game to be a Hall of Famer, but when you're in the process, you know, and you go through this journey, we call it, If you're given that opportunity and you have, you know, are blessed and fortunate to have those type of numbers, it's just an amazing feeling. I have to tell you, I'm just so lucky and fortunate to have that opportunity, no doubt.
It's a great response. Jim Thome is my guest. And Jim, you were part of an amazing class, which included Trevor Hoffman, Vlad Guerrero, Jack Morris, Alan Trammell, Chipper Jones. Follow me on this. It's going to take a moment to set this up, but it's so awesome because during the ceremony, Chipper told the story about an early interaction between the two of you in AAA. There was a bench clearing incident, and Chipper said, quote, "I go diving into the pile. Next thing I know, what can only be described as the hand of God grabs me around the throat, pins me up to the backstop netting. All I can hear is don't move." So thinking God had me around the neck, naturally I obliged. I did manage to glance up and see my mother and father in the third row. Mom's eyes were about this big. JT whispered in my ear. He said, "You done?" I said, "Yes, sir, I'm done," end quote. I mean, Jim, what an amazing story that is. What do you remember about that incident?
I don't remember everything unfolding like that. But when you're in a brawl, look, at the end of the day, you want the brawl to end. If you're not in it yourself and charging the mound, you want to get people out of there. You want the brawl to get over as quick as possible. I mean, that's Chipper's side. Like, look, I didn't go looking for Chipper. Chipper was a great player. Our paths connect during a brawl that, look, I respected Chipper to a point. I didn't want to see him get hurt. I obviously didn't want to get hurt. And when you're in that situation, you try to get people out of there safely and as quick as possible. It's a funny story for me because, you know, I mean, of the respect I have for Chipper, and to hear him tell that story, it's kind of honestly, as now brothers and be a part of the same fraternity, I mean, we both kind of laugh about it now, but it's, you know, look, the game, you get competitive, it does get intense at times, but I know this, from day one, I saw Chipper Jones play. I had the utmost respect how he was as a player. And you never really want to see anybody, a teammate or anybody, get hurt in a brawl that you want to end very quickly.
Jim Thome joins us. Jim, it's very clear. He loves you and respects you the same way. He also made the point that when he played against you, he wanted to hit singles just so he could stop and talk to you because you're so nice, which is another great story. But, you know, he's not the only one. Jim Thome, my guest, time and time again, Jim, teammates and opponents talked about how much they love your generosity, your warmth, your humility. The thing is, you are a superstar, one of the best to ever play, but you never acted like it. Why was that?
Well, I think that comes from your family. I think that comes from teammates that at a certain point, you know, you have to be sat down and told, hey, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. That's what your parents do. That's what your brothers and sisters do. And that's what ultimately, when you become a Major League Baseball player, that torch is passed down the line. I was blessed and fortunate to have the Eddie Murrays, Dave Winfield, Dennis Martinez, Oral Hershiser back in the mid-90s. Look, these guys had great resumes. And our young Indians teams, you know, we were young, but we had the right mix of veterans that really kind of took us under their wing, and just kind of guided us how to act and how to be professionals. But it ultimately comes back, Jim, to your parents. And I think I was so fortunate. I had great parents that were always supportive. They were there all the time. And, you know, I had a dad that was always in my ear and, hey, you know, do the right thing, do this. And again, I think it all stems from all of the above where the player then has to listen and take that and run with it.
Hall of Famer Jim Thome joining us on the show. Jim, I mentioned at the very top, fans can vote during the All-Star Game starters election on MLB.com or Google search. As somebody who had one honor after another, how much do those All-Star appearances mean to you?
There's nothing like it. I got to tell you, to be introduced on the line for an All-Star Game, is the most incredible feeling ever, because here you are, a young player, and I when I see guys that make their first All-Star games, to me, it's a feeling like no other. I have an 11-year-old son right now, and if he makes an All-Star team, if a young player in the major leagues makes an All-Star team, that's as good as it gets. You're one of the best. You're to be introduced in the baseball All-Star game, it's a feeling and like no other, Jim. I'm telling you, it's the best of the best. Here's all these great players, the Mike Trouts, you know, of the world. And then in my time, it was Wade Boggs. It was the Kenny Loftons, the Roberto Alomars, the Cal Ripkins. And to be introduced, it's a feeling, and I've said that, it's like no other. And I can't wait to be a part of it and watch these kids. And that's what they are. They're kids right now enjoying, and boy, are they great players. It's so fun to watch.
Jim Thome joining us. It's great to hear you talk about the youngsters today. Jim, one more thought. You're an ambassador for this year's All-Star Game, which is coming up in 2 weeks in Cleveland. I was actually in the stands back in 97 watching the game. I just was a fan that day. God, the buzz in that stadium and that town was absolutely amazing back then. What's it mean to you to see the All-Star Game back in Cleveland?
Special. And now to go back as an ambassador and be able to, as I said, take my family and kind of enjoy and reminisce on what was in 97 and now look to the way the game's progressed and all these young players, as I said, it's an honor, man. It's Cleveland gets to show off how special it is from the whole package, from the ballpark to the city to the fans, and to be a part of it is just great. I get to manage the Futures game and be a part of that. So it's going to be something really special to see my 11-year-old get to witness 4 days that any 11-year-old would want to experience, and to share that with him and my daughter and my wife, and then friends that we have coming. There's no better feeling, I think.
What a blast. He is a member of the Hall of Fame, an MLB Network analyst, and an ambassador for the 2019 MLB All-Star Game. Again, that's in Cleveland on the 9th, Tuesday. Fans can vote during the starters election on MLB.com or on Google search from Wednesday at noon until Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Jim Thome, my guest. Jim, so great to get caught up with you, and so nice to have you back on the show. Have a great time with that, and it's really good to talk to you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Listen, is there something which is interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? If so, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are specialized in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, grief, self-esteem, and so much more. You can connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is confidential, and it's very convenient. Get help at your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. If you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. And best of all, it really is an affordable option. And if you're listening to this right now, you can get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/Rome. So why not get started today? Again, go to betterhelp.com/Rome. Simply fill out a questionnaire and you'll get matched up with a counselor that you will love. Again, betterhelp.com/Rome. That's betterhelp.com/Rome. We are joined by catcher Stephen Vogt. Stephen, it is so good to have you back in the jungle. How are you?
I'm awesome, man. I'm so happy to be back on with you. I've been excited about this for about the last week. So thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Me too, brother. I want to reset that question the same way. It has been a minute or two since we've run you down, had you on the show. Exactly. How are you doing, man? How is life?
Life is great. I'm back in the Bay Area. You know, we're living about two blocks from where we lived. It was Oakland. So my family's happy. Life is good. Back playing in the big leagues after missing all of last year. So I am I'm ecstatic, and I'm just proud to be playing for the team I grew up rooting for. It's been pretty fun.
Stephen Vogt joining us. Stephen, you know, you're close to it, but there may be some people listening right now that don't really know the entire journey that you've had to go through. So if we went back to last season, you played 45 games with Milwaukee in 2017. After your time in Oakland ended, you were coming back with the Brewers in 2018, but then you injured your shoulder in spring training. What do you remember about that injury and that moment when it first happened?
Yeah, so, I was really, you know, when I got released by Oakland and then claimed by Milwaukee, you know, it kind of gave me some new life. And, you know, I had really struggled throwing the ball in 17 and just kind of, you know, knew I had to make some big adjustments. So I really worked on my throwing going into spring of 2018. I was ready to go. Honestly, the best arm strength I had had since my first shoulder surgery back in 09. Arm was feeling great, and we're throwing to bases the day before game start in spring training, and I felt a pinch in my shoulder on one throw. Knew right away that wasn't good, but, you know, being a stubborn athlete, you try and play through it, ignore it. Maybe, hey, it's just spring training. Something's going to give. It'll feel better. You know, tried to rehab it, tried to come back, and then kind of was close. I was one day away from getting activated and playing in a double-A game and felt it go again and ended up having – surgery in May 17th of last year. So just kind of a crushing injury and ended up missing the entire year. Never got to play in one game.
Stephen Vogt joining us. You know, at the same time, it had to be crushing and the rehab had to be really challenging. But at the same time, you go through something like that. You were around the team and manager Craig Counsell praised you for what you meant to the team last year, despite the fact that you didn't play in a single big league game last year. What was your approach when you were around your teammates last year and how did you approach that?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously getting high praise like that from your manager is huge, especially from Craig. He's a great manager, great man. But, you know, for me, Jim, what it was is I, you know, talking with my wife right the night I blew out. You know, we were just talking on the phone. She was back home with the kids in school. And, you know, and I told her, I said, hey, this is an opportunity. And she said the same thing. And we just talked about this is an opportunity for you to be present for your teammates. And that was my approach. My approach was to be there every day. Obviously, my number one goal was to get healthy. But on top of that, it was to be present for my teammates and anything they needed, whether it was talking about scouting reports, talking about hitting, talking about life, just be present for them and to just be there and support the guys and help win games any way I could. And the coaching staff, front office staff, and the players were unbelievable in kind of letting me be an integral part of that team. And obviously I didn't play one inning, but really felt like I was part of the team the whole year, and I'm very thankful that they allowed me to do that.
Amazing. Stephen Vogt joining us. And Stephen, I'm not at all surprised that your wife Alyssa was front and center in this whole thing. You and I have talked about her in the past. But before the start of the season, the Giants reach out to you and they offer you a contract. You grew up as a Giants fan in the Central Valley. You played for the A's. So when the chance to go back to the Bay Area came about, what was your reaction and what did Alyssa think?
Well, obviously she was excited just to be heading back to the Bay Area. You know, we were here for parts of 5 years with Oakland. We watched our family grow from one kid to three kids now. And so it's a very special place for us. So getting a call from Farhan Zaidi and getting the contract offer from the Giants, you know, it's the uniform that I've been dreaming of playing in since I was 3 years old, you know, pretending to be Will Clark in the front yard, pretending to be other Giants my whole life. And, so just hearing that call, hey, somebody wants you, even though you missed all of last year, you're going to get an opportunity to play. And not only that, it's going to be for the team you grew up rooting for. Our family was excited. Just so much hard work and perseverance and dedication because Alyssa was just a big part. You know, it's not just us that go through the hard times. You know, it's hard on the families. They're not used to you not playing. They're not used to you being in a bad mood when you're having a bad day of rehab. So it really was a full family effort to get back, and here we are, and we couldn't be more proud.
All right, so if it's a full family effort to get back, and it's a grind, and it's challenging, and then you get called up after all that work, that roller coaster, that grind, it's not just you, it's your entire family, what did it feel like to be back in the major leagues?
It was incredible. You know, I spent the first month in AAA, and I hadn't played baseball for, you know, a year and a half. So I had to get some at-bats and had to prove I was healthy before they were going to call me up. And, you know, this one, Jim, honestly felt sweeter than my debut in a lot of ways. You know, you see the way the game's changing, and now you're 34 years old going to AAA for the first time in 6 years. And you're wondering, am I going to be able to do this with the way the game is changing? And so to earn your way back was a lot sweeter this time. And, we go to Cincinnati and the family flew out, Alyssa and the three kids, and you know, they're sitting right behind the dugout and I'm going in at a double switch and just kind of turned around with my catcher's gear on and just gave Alyssa the biggest smile. And, you know, to have her just smile right back, it was incredible because she, like I said, she was there with me every step of the way, encouraging me and helping me get through the whole process. So, just such a sweet feeling to get back and just be back in the big leagues after everything that we went through last year.
Goosebumps. And not only, Steven, to get back, but in your first game with the Giants, you go 3-for-3, and you had a game-tying bomb, a game-tying home run in the ninth inning. What was that game like?
I mean, everything, you know, Jim, the way I've always played baseball is, you know, how can I help the team win tonight? And, you know, for me, that's always been my focus. So, you know, coming in, we're getting beat pretty good in a double, you know, get double switch situation early in the game to get Buster out of there, get him some rest. And, you know, to have three hits to contribute to a win like that and to come from behind win. And, you know, it was unbelievable. And, you know, ninth inning, two outs, game tying home run in the uniform you grew up wanting to wear in your first game back in the big leagues in over a year and a half. Again, like you said, goosebumps. I still get it. I watch that video replay probably every other day, just to remind myself that, you know, I did it, you know, and now to continue to prove every day that I belong at this level is my goal, and I'm just enjoying every minute of it.
So before I let you go, let me ask you this then. When you went through what you went through, Steven, last season, it would have been pretty easy, if not understandable, to say, you know what, I've had an amazing run. I'm part of an elite fraternity of All-Stars. I've done more than probably 99.9% of people who ever play baseball could ever do. I can retire. I could probably get into coaching, but you didn't do that. Why not? What was it that brought you back?
I feel like there's a lot left in the tank. I think for me it's you know, there's so many statistics out there. There's so many guys that just weren't able to come back from this injury. There's so many guys that their bodies just don't respond. And I love the challenge. I love the motivation of, I know I'm one of the best in the world and I want to prove that every night. And I think, you know, it's funny. That's always been my focus, is I know I have more left. I know I can do this. I need to prove this to myself and I need to prove this to everybody else. And that's what kept me motivated. You're absolutely right. There were some opportunities to move on, to move to the other side of the fence and as a coach and help other people achieve what I've been able to achieve, and I will do that. But you can only be a player once. And for me, it's that motivation every day of going out and competing against the best baseball players on the planet, knowing that I can beat them. And there's no greater feeling than that in the world.
Steven Vogt, my guest. So when you go through something like that, did you treat yourself? Did you treat yourself to a Celine Dion concert?
Not yet. But I did talk to Alyssa, and we were talking about going to Vegas this offseason. And you know what show I'm going to see, Jim.
Oh, I know it. Who is a bigger fan of Celine, you or Alyssa?
Me, hands down. She she flatters me whenever I have to, you know, get a little Celine fix. But she's great. And I see video clips of it all the time, and she's still going strong. So more power to her.
Not that there's any doubt, but that's how you know you married a good one. That's how you know you married the right one. Steven Vogt, my guest, two-time All-Star. My man, it's so good to have you back on the show. What an amazing return. What an amazing journey. I really respect that a lot, and I appreciate you, Steven. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Let's go to the phones right now. Mark in Boston. Mark, what's up? How are you?
Oh, hey, Jim. Whew. I'm still on hold from Friday. Did I make it? To carry the weekend. Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. Congrats on SmackOff 25. The weird thing about being on hold all weekend, you know that parody Larry song about left ears? Yeah, that dude is still singing it, like do-do-do-do-do-do. And Matt in L.A. has just been rambling on and on, from the seventh level of hell to Taco Bell, you're welcome. And I've been listening in that void for 96 hours. So if this comes across as a little bit weird, blame them. But congrats on SmackOff 25. It's great to be here on the biggest day in sports radio, the day after the SmackOff, when Mike and Indy will call to contest the results and say he won. Mike, great Beastie Boys parody, dude. Nailed it. Hey, I love how Mike continues to get worse each year as he continues to tell us how great he is. Mike, you will place better when your takes become as accurate as how much you stink. I'm the mediocrest there ever was, the mediocrest there ever will be. And what in the hell happened to Matt in Vancouver? I couldn't tell if he was doing a really bad phone call
or a really good Mike and Indy impersonation? And what a bad look for DA. How much longer is CBS going to keep paying him when they realize a teacher from Buffalo and a stay-at-home dad in Corona are better at talking sports than him? Hey, DA, how is it possible that your call could actually make me want to hear more Matt in L.A.? Do you have any idea how hard that is, dude? And Caleb, great song, man. I am glad you and the six people who understood what was going on when you pressed play laughed. Like, I'm really looking forward to your weird, obscure, random gimmick next year that you think is going to hit really hard, but like the five people, your family in attendance, know what's going on because you explained it to them in advance. And I only say that because Friday we heard the Jason Avant song, and then you had to explain on Twitter who was singing it, where that was. Hey, buddy, a quick rule about jokes, if you have to explain them, they're not good. You're the only dude who would crowdsource the funds to buy Rome a baseball bat from a movie about basketball. Well, actually, there was that one line Rome said about it. Yeah, again, if you have to explain it, it sucks. Dude, recreate the Green Bay tour stop or something. Get Bill Plaschke to slap you in the face with a sturgeon, or get Toy Cook to do a shot of ranch. That would be a cool Toy Story, Caleb. Unfortunately, your call didn't give me a Woody or a Buzz, and this one is light years ahead of the one we heard Friday, Toy Story 4 in theaters today. And I don't know how Brad and Corona does it. I mean, it's like we have video of him at Orchids of Asia. We got him. He's busted. He's not going to get away with it again. And then Brad goes full Dukes of Hazzard and jumps to General Lee over the rest of the field, and I will not allow it any longer. A lot of folks clown Virginia for losing to a 16, and there were a lot of 16s in the field on Friday. And to shut them up, Virginia had to come back the next year and win the whole damn thing. So thank you. Thank you for not taking my call. I called this show for the first time during my brief stint in Boston, but I am Detroit-born and brought up in freaking Florida. I've got the blood of a scumbag, and I was raised by Florida Man. You want Florida Man clones? You got Florida Man. A dangerous mix. The guy who will burn down your whole neighborhood and then walk his pet alligator on a leash around the flames. Deal. He's here. You guys don't realize this. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. So 1 year from today, whenever it is, I am putting that crown on my head if I have to take a baseball bat to the person wearing it. Enjoy your last safe day in the jungle, boys.
Rack him and look at Mark in Boston. Let's go to San Antonio. Gino. Gino, what's up?
Romy, man, you know what? Every year there's controversy and people that are annoyed after the Smack-Off, and there's one reason why. It's because the Smack-Off is loved. The Smack-Off is important. You can only be hurt by things that you love. People respect the Smack-Off so much, and they put so much effort into it, and that's the only reason people get a little bit upset afterwards if they don't place where they think. But if anybody thinks that I'm going to call in and cry because I didn't make it to the air, you don't know me very well. The reason I didn't make it to air is because I didn't deserve it, and that's the fact. If I had given the show enough fodder leading up to the Smack-Off, you guys would have taken my call. That's on me. It's not on anybody else. But the Smack-Off is a sacred day for the callers of this show. You got to earn the right to get on the air. And the vast majority of people who listen to this show, the people who text about the callers, crack on the callers, make fun of the callers, that's because you have no idea what it takes to work up a concept and put it all out there to be criticized. But like Teddy Roosevelt said, he said, it's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done it better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. So the display shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. The Smack-Off is for those souls who dare to put themselves out there on the line and risk defeat for the chance at glory, and I salute everybody that has ever called into the Smack-Off. But one of the greatest and most loyal callers to ever call the show is not going to be around much longer, and of course I'm talking about Trapper. If you haven't seen it yet, you can look up his call that Jim Benton recorded on Friday. It is quite simply amazing, and it is a fitting tribute for maybe Trapper's last thing he's ever going to do. Trapper, my longtime friend, some people love you, Some people hate you. You and I have had beefs, but that's just the way it always has been for truly great people like you. You are now and have always been the heart and soul, and other than Jim Rome himself, the backbone of this jungle. In life, very few people leave their mark so deep and hard that they cannot be forgotten. And you, my friend, you are one of those people. In the words of the Asbury Park legend Bruce Springsteen, we made a promise we swore we'd always remember. No retreat, Trapper. No surrender. Rome, you've always treated me great, so before you have to do it, I'll show myself the door.
No need. Good job, Gino. Nice to have you on. Matt in L.A. Hey, Matt, what's cracking?
Romy, Rome. Hey, from Rochester to Rangoon to Rap Beach, you're welcome. Today, I want to please give it up to Vince, as in Van Smack, on 25 years of excellence. The Smack Off is an institution, Romy, and BIC himself is probably an institution. Maybe the greatest ever to do it. Congrats on back-to-back, Brad. And it was historic on so many levels Friday, man. That's kind of what I want to touch on. Friday, Smack Off 25 marked the first ever Smack Off where a contestant was PC'd up. Now, in the hood and on the streets, we call being PC'd up asking for protective custody. And that's about the softest label that you can be given. So our dude PC-DA coming on, spouting off for minutes and then begging that Matt and LA did not get on air was straight PC. And punk collusion may fly in your circles, DA, but when you pick a fight, you should never look for the referee to save you, my man. But we all know you can't spell Delilah without DA. Go read the good book if you don't understand that reference, my man, because, yes, Jesus is my shepherd, homie. And your false prophecy on Friday ain't cool. God hates ugly. So you know he detests your ass, D.A. And, oh, yeah, also, Romy, I got a hit on Mikey Della Sour Cream. Hey, bro, if you really believe that sorry-ass excuse as to why you didn't do that tandem call is because one of Left's peeps was going to pay you to sabotage a losing-ass call, please, my dude, you really are dense. Mikey, stop already. You Mafia Don wannabe. Just be thankful I gave you a tip the day before about the IRS. Rule number one of being a gangster, son, don't put your business in the air. But if you do slip up and put your business in the air, make damn sure no one's recording you, chump. I did you a favor because you wouldn't last 10 minutes in the county, much less in the pen, fool. That's all I got, Jimmy. Aloha means a hola. Outro.
Matt in L.A., and remember what he said. God hates ugly. John in New York. I've got a feeling this guy wants to talk Mets baseball. John, what's up? How are you?
Jim, first of all, great Smack-Off. You're the best. There's no question about it. I just wanted to acknowledge 12 Wood and Steve. They did a great job with the after show and the wrap-up and all that good stuff. So anybody, they should check that out. But as far as that stench and flushing, the New York Mets, Jim, been dealing with this for over 25 years, and nothing has changed. You know, we, as far as your list, we could go on with Cespedes, the bullpen. They hired George Washington's brother. I mean, they should make Citi Field into a transfer station that it is. Okay, we could get rid of the Mets, and slowly but surely, people will go up to the Bronx and look at what's going on up there and cheer for a team that's being run the right way. I mean, people in Tyler, how long is it going to take? As long as the DA Smack-Off called Jim? I mean, give me a break. I mean, Met fans are suffering down here, you know? And as far as you, Jim, the Radio Hall of Fame, you're up for it again. Maybe that's something if you're really thinking about getting rid of the Smack-Off, we could throw that in. If we get you in, I know we can get you in because we got some good people out there, Jim. And maybe someday you'll come on Scopes with Steven and let us know the real deal about how you felt about DA's call. We got your back, Jim. Love you, Jim. We'll talk to you soon.
John, I love you too, bro. Sincerely, your fam. Listen, John, from me to you, and I've got no reason not to be real, all right? My life's good. My show is good. Let's go to New Jersey. Graham, you're next. It's good to have you. Graham, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
What's up?
I am these Mets. I can't take it anymore. We've got this young starting rotation. We've been lucky enough to have them on these rookie contracts with Syndergaard. We just
Wheeler. We're about to lose Wheeler after this year. Mats is doing great this year. He's finally healthy. Vargas, the one veteran, the lefty who throws, what, 86 tops, he's looking like our ace right now. I don't even – what are we supposed to do? It's a circus act every freaking day with this franchise. And I've it's from the top down, and I can't take it anymore. I'm reading about beat reporters talking about how Mickey Callaway, a guy who should be fired, is trying to get fired at this point. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. We're going to lose – it took in 2015 Dan Murphy hitting, what, four home runs in four games in a row for us to make it to the World Series in the first place just to get embarrassed by that Royals team, a team I'm really going to hate for the rest of my life. I mean, I can't take this anymore, man. We're going to sit here in 5 years. This pitching staff is going to be gone because we're not going to pay them, and we're going to be stuck here with Pete Alonso, and he's just great. And he's going to be stuck there surrounded by nobody. We're sending off Jared Kelenic for Robbie Cano. Edwin Diaz is blowing saves left and right. I mean, Jared Kelenic's out here in Seattle minors, and he's lighting it up from what I'm hearing. And now we're not even going to have that going forward. Jeff McNeil, this absolute beast who's probably going to get snubbed from the All-Star game, and he's got nobody around him. I mean, we got Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Conforto, and those are the only people that are trying to do anything for this team. You know, we got DeGrom going out there shoving for seven games in a row, letting up at most two runs, right? And this guy can't even get a win behind him because this team blows it night in, night out. I can live with last night with Lugo.
Graham, you're amazing. Let me jump in there. Graham, first of all, I appreciate you. Man, I'm sorry that you have to see all that garbage, but damn, dude, I'm awed by what you just did and what you just said. Rack him, Alvin.
Good night now.